Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of It's Not My Fault, the OASG podcast is not popular. My name is Helen, and this is episode 249.
Whoa.
I am tired.
Whoa. 294, that's what, 2029? I guess, we average what? Rough.
We average, 25 a year, so...
Yeah, 2028 might be right if we get to 294.
Anyway, and that's Justin. I'm tired because I just got back from Otakon like an hour ago, but the schedule, life marches on, and that means our schedules are just busy all the time. So this is the only time we have to record.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired.
Well, we're gonna try to make this a shorter. As much as we can, make it a shorter episode than usual, because yes, it is a beast going to conventions, and hopefully it's in a few weeks I'll be feeling the same way. But yes, Helen, how was your Otakon? I keep always getting it.
No, it's Otakon. You had it right the first time.
Always getting it mixed up.
It was. Yeah, I don't know why you do, but
the real reason I get it is because Metal Gear Solid has a character.
Who's named after the convention.
Yeah.
He is named after the convention.
That is why.
So, Otakon was, it was solid this year. I'm just still mad that I didn't make it into the discotheque panel for the announcements since they were full, and
room?
No, they were in one of the larger rooms, but not the largest room. And so what annoys me is that the staff member who was cutting off the line was saying, industry panels are always big. It doesn't matter what room we'd put them in. Discotheque's the biggest one. It would fill up everything. And I'm just thinking to myself, bitch, don't make me pull up the official, floor plans on the website for the city of D.C. and... I know panel 1 and panel 2 have a larger capacity than panel 7. It's like, I have looked at these floor plans before. So I was complaining about that in one of my group chats. Just, it was the attitude of, nothing can be done. And it's like, no, something can't be done. And we've been telling you for years that Discotheque needs, the biggest fucking panel room we've got, short of main events. Which is, a 2,000 person capacity, which would, in fact, be too big for Discotheque, but, So yeah, I'm still salty about that, but actually most of the reason I was salty is because all of my friends are in there and I wanted to be with them, and they had some really good announcements, and I would have enjoyed losing my shit in there for them. But I did see my friends for the rest of the time. We watched bad movies together. I learned how to play Beyblade. I'm not particularly good at Beyblading, but I'm willing to improve. I did get a number of autographs this time around. Let's see. There was one for Kaiju Girl Caramelise. They had the director and one of the producers there. It's kind of funny since Otakon likes to have a lot of these live drawing panels now where you have an artist, so a mangaka or such, working on a piece of art as questions are being asked. So they tried to do one here, but since he's the director... not like a mangaka. It was kind of a live storyboarding, which I didn't feel like worked quite as well. But I did get a little postcard signed by the two of them. There was also one for Romelia War Chronicles, which doesn't come out till October, but they had the original novel author, the adapting mangaka, the lead voice actress... editor for the books, and a producer come along. So I got a postcard they provided signed by the anime staff, and then one copy of the manga signed by the book staff, since the manga is licensed here, but the light novel isn't. And they did do another live drawing this morning, which was worked better since, the manga is there and she's actually drawing. But an awful lot of the panel was just them talking about how much they're drinking. Even here in D.C. It's listen, I hear stories from, the industry suite parties that go on every Otakon. Part of the reason I choose not to attend those is because I can still talk about, I've heard rumors. I feel like if I actually went, I would then be, morally obligated to not mention that, yeah, I hear rumors about how much the Japanese guests drink and what they get up to. But did get all that signed. And, I mean, honestly, that one didn't have a really big attendance since it's hard to promote something that's not out yet. And there were a couple of sets of guests like that at Otakon this year. And it's like, I feel like you're only going to get so many people interested in things that are, you know, premiering there.
Yeah, it's not like
they just don't know about them already.
It's not like a Kagurabachi or anything like that. So that's
they did have a premiere of the first episode for that. It was in a smaller room, and apparently that got cut off. Apparently that was packed. And they did also premiere, I think, the first two episodes of the new Ray Earth. But I didn't go to those panels since the only people they had were like two of the voice actors and like the producer. And it's like, I'd be more interested in like submitting audience questions if it was more like the director. Since, I mean, sometimes producers are like really involved in the animation process itself, and sometimes they're more involved in the getting money to keep this going process. So, kind of hit or miss there. And then the last set of autographs I got and panels I went to, they had some staff from Ascendance of a Bookworm. They had Mine's voice actress, Yuka Izuguchi. Yeah, and then they had the director for the current season, let's see, and then two different producers, I think. Like, one for, like, the TV channel, and I think the other one was just sort of, like, an animation producer. And it was really annoying. For the autographs, there was a sudden restriction that came up as we were lined up. I can only imagine this was on the Japanese side. I don't think Otakon had this one. But that they were saying that they would only sign one piece of media between all four of them. So, like, some people had brought, like, four separate shikishi boards to get signed, and they were saying, no, it all has to be on one. Or, Iguchi has done a number of roles, so a bunch of folks, you know, had brought something along, you know, for the other three staff members to sign politely, but really wanted just her autograph on something.
Yeah,
they're even saying, just have them all sign something they've all worked on, and we're all saying to the staff, no, there isn't anything they've all worked on before, like, you know, I was like, I've got my cover of the DVD, but they didn't work on the season. So what I did was, Iguchi was at the end of the line, so I had the director for the current season and the other two staff members sign, like, the inside of the DVD cover booklet. And then when I got to Iguchi, I flipped it over to the front, so she signed on the front. So that was I think I was the only one who managed to pull off even anything remotely close to multiple items signed. But yeah, I feel like that must be a restriction on the Japanese side, since, as folks have mentioned around the internet before, anime conventions, the way they exist in America, Europe, Southeast Asia, as far as I know, places like that, they're rather different from the events you see in Japan, which are more focused on, like, a single property, while here we're more interested in hearing guests talk about kind of their careers as a whole. So people might be interested in seeing Iguchi for Bookworm. And there definitely were plenty of people who were interested in her for Bookworm. Like, I saw multiple Mine cosplays this weekend, from, like, parts 4 and 5, even. So not even stuff the anime's covered yet. But there's plenty of folks who've just enjoyed her work doing other things, like Chitan? No, not Chitan. Chikuwa. Yeah, someone was trying to explain what Chikuwa was to me in line. I was like, nah, that's too mainstream for me. I'm not interested. So yeah, a solid Otakon. I feel like it could be even better in some ways. It would have helped if they weren't scheduling all of the industry panels, like, against each other. There was, because they were showing, they had, like, a Kaiju Girl Karamelise and Studio Trigger and Production IG panels all in, like, the exact same time slot. Not even, like, partially overlapping, but the exact same 4:30 to 5:30 time slot. And that was just rude. And of course, I have friends who couldn't make it this year, and I wish more of them could make it back, because I miss seeing folks, you know? This is a good time for me to hang together with people and watch stupid movies together and hear a one-hour-long presentation on Transformers anime in a hotel room. Side note, my god, there's been a lot of Transformers anime. I was unaware of this. So much.
What do you mean?
I knew there had been some, I just had not been aware of just how many it was. I remember watching, like, part of one series as a kid on must have been Fox, my brother, but there's been so much. So yeah, I still recommend Otakon, although my back's gonna be killing me tomorrow since I did like 13,000 steps on Friday and nearly 19,000 steps yesterday. So that's like, it's like 5 and 7 miles. So just, yeah, my Fitbit like kept going off being like, I noticed you're doing an exercise. Do you want to record it? As I was walking around the dealer's hall because it was so big. And I'm sure Justin is going to be doing a ton of steps when he goes to Anime NYC in a couple of weeks. Since I do recall that that convention center is also quite large.
And it's 4 days.
Yeah, that too. Are they going to be doing a bunch of stuff on Thursday this year, or is it kind of more of a wishy-washy half day?
I haven't checked yet. I literally haven't checked the schedule yet. I'll probably do it next week. Probably next week. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. But yeah, I haven't looked at the schedule yet. Last year was, they had some, no industry stuff, or at least relevant industry stuff to me. But they did have some stuff. It's just they had it later in the day. Nothing in the morning, from what I remember. I don't think they had stuff. Did they open them yet early in the afternoon? But I don't remember. It was last year. my only, before we move on to what I was up to, I do want to ask one question. You did attend the Bookworm panel, and I know you were posting all about it on your big Otakon thread, but I need to get your 100% honest thoughts about how that panel went.
So there were two, and I intended to go to both, but as I was sitting through the second panel, I realized that they were just sort of recap, like doing the exact same thing as the day before, like question for question, so I left, and then I checked out like a different panel. So the Friday panel, at least, and the Saturday panel are probably mostly the same. It was kind of light on things, as I expected, more generalities. I mean, let's be real. If they're doing just, like, pre-selected questions, you know they're never going to be hard-hitting. You need, like, actual press interviews, or you need some rando to come up to the mic and be like, do you hate the fact that Mari Okada has taken all the credit for your work? Like someone once did to the director of Gundam Iron-Blooded Orphans. That was pretty memorable. So it was fairly light all around. They did show an Otakon exclusive trailer of some upcoming events in the anime. And I am behind on the anime, so I don't know which scenes in there have already happened and which were about to happen. But I did think the funniest part is that there's a very quick scene between Damuel and Bridget, and there were quite a few excited squeals in the audience about that. So that was cute.
Okay. Fair enough.
Oh, one fun note they did have from there is that the original author, like, video calls into, like, basically every recording session. So that's, apparently that's a little intimidating and not normal. Not usual, so. But that's fun.
I think
that's... And everyone has to be very careful with all of the long-ass complicated names for, like, the spells and such in the show.
You know what? It makes me wonder. Okay, actually, two things. One, I think she might have revealed this in one of the fan books about her involvement in the anime and stuff like that.
I didn't know it, so it was news to me.
Yeah. But also,
because I'm not at the point yet where I can read the fan books. I have not read enough of the novels to be at that point.
Right, but and then one other thing is, I think with the main series finished, this may also have freed up like time for it to actually be more involved in the anime. That's just a theory I have. I don't know if it's true or not. I'm just putting it out there. All right, Helen. I'm going to begin with streaming news. Wait, what? Why are we doing streaming news? What streaming news could have happened that I'm talking about it now? Well, that is because.
And in case folks are wondering, no, it's not Conan this time.
Yeah, that's getting talked about later.
We need to wait till the post Anime NYC episode for Justin to talk about seeing the new Conan movie there, since they're doing some sort of road show tour with it.
Yeah, we'll see first of all, I have to see if they actually, if it's at a time I can actually go to. That's one thing. Because who knows what in the industry panels are happening that I can't really skip. So anyways, GTO, Great Teacher Onizuka, the live action 1998 version. that mysteriously popped up on Netflix, I think, what, last week? I was literally stunned, shocked. But at the same time, I was like, I wonder if it was way overdue, because I think over the past year or so, Netflix was adding a lot of Japanese, like, drama, TV shows and stuff like that to their service. So I said, surely GTO is going to be added at some point, right? You got Goku-sen there, you got Dragon Dragon. That's been added to Netflix. Surely GTO is going to get added there too, right? And it did finally get added. Oh! This was literally that. Lots of things got me through college. Great to Join Zuko was one of them, and it really just came down to me showing up to Anime Club. Anime Club showed an episode of GTO. I was hooked. Little did I know I'd be hooked so much, I would just go to all the bootleg sites just to watch it, the whole thing. Then go read the manga. Go read the manga. I did not expect to be. How is this freaking loser biker guy just messing my brain chemicals like that? How did he do it? I don't know how, but he did. So yeah, that was one of my comfort or things I just love to watch all the time, and now do it more conveniently. Oh my god. So yes, I did watch all of it. Like last week, I had to obviously. I couldn't do it all at once, so I had to like go by day by day, which did delay me from like catching up to all my anime and manga and light novel reads for a bit. I was like, oh, I just almost caught up, then GTO dropped, and I was like, oh, I gotta watch this like all over again. I obviously don't recall everything about when I originally watched it, but I did read that due to like some licensing stuff, some of the music's been like replaced. And or put in like awkward places, so I'm like, oh, I don't remember all that. I don't remember the specific. I have to like literally see if I could do a compare and contrast somewhere if they can find like the original GTO versions. But yes, even Japan can't. They have their own music woes they have to abide by too. So I think for me, it didn't personally affect my enjoyment, but there were like there was at least when I rewatched it again, there was an episode where I kind of noticed like seems like it's just blaring a little awkwardly. Not sure if it's good enough or good, but it didn't really affect my enjoyment. Again, it just stars Eikichi Onizuka, just a guy who's just not he's not really smart. He just has the desire to want to like just teach. He has a passion for just wanting to like just do that. There's many problems with him trying to teach, except for the fact that he used to be part of a biker gang. Obviously, got in the fights and everything, and now he's trying to teach these middle school. Yeah, I guess more like high school-ish, that area of school where he's teaching, and he is basically at a school where they have these supposed like guidelines and supposed like, oh, it's all proper and everything and prestigious, but they're not really like prestigious in that sense. And then they just have teachers that kind of just quote unquote don't really care about their students. And you would think like, okay, they can't really work out. They can't really look at this way. Right. But then he gets assigned, the infamous class 2-4, where there's not no normal class in the school. This is a school that's been driving away their homeroom teachers for what reason? Why are they doing it? Why are they doing all this to just a homeroom teacher? But Onizuka's going to find out. Obviously, it's based off the manga, but they do make some obviously changes. There's like one character that doesn't appear in this particular version. She appears in the 2012 version. I'm not sure if they just decided they couldn't really adapt it well enough for the live action at the time. But she's not in this one. They also have to, I think, compress some things. Like, there's these three characters show up in the... Or one character that shows up early in the first volume that doesn't really show up in the rest of the series. But for this adaption, they basically kept her around. So, yes, it's obviously a difference. But and watching it again, there are definitely some cheesier moments. So I'm just like, it seems kind of clunky. But I'm like, I still kind of enjoy it. And again, it's all, again, relating to the fact that you have these youths who are, they're obviously essentially screaming against the world, really. and they have your bad apples. But are these bad apples just because of themselves or because of the environment and how they've been treated up to this point? And Onizuka essentially finds the good in them. And it's in some cases what they can really do with their lives. And sometimes it involves being crass and everything. So I'm not going to talk again too much about this one because I've watched it so many times. And that's not the one I kind of want to go over the most because it's mostly an older one than what I've watched before. GTO Revival is the one that they also added. This is technically one that's new for me. This is they did a revival a few years ago where they brought back, obviously, not all the cast, obviously. They brought back the main actor, of course. But then they brought back a couple of key students from the original, but now all grown up. And, excuse me. The main crux is that Onizuka has now been sent to a school where there's something going on within this particular school where you have some sort of, person who's just highlighting particular crimes or particular, like, scandals in this one particular school for some reason. It's pretty bad in the sense that it kind of, it gets blasted social media. Pretty much everybody knows about it. This causes lots of confusion, kind of hatred for certain people and students, and at one point a teacher. There's a lot of going about social media and how that is impacting students and faculty and how they essentially are getting by with their lives. It's kind of interesting, especially since it's trying to class with Onizuka's just do this, try to focus on life, or try not to worry too much about everything, just try to live your life in a sense. And at one point he does get into trouble with this person who wants to spread social media, who spreads what he's doing on social media. So even Onizuka gets a little nervous about that. No! He gets a little nervous on that. There's a couple critiques, but I'm just going to live into the fact that I think they set it up, like, who actually this person is. Like, they my first thought was, this is obviously somebody that's in the school. You don't make it that, I mean, it's pretty obvious, but who is it? Who is this one student that's actually the person, the social media person that's spreading, or social media under their disguise and everything? And I already figured...
It's always the quiet ones.
You think it'll be the quiet ones. I'm not going to spoil it, but it's funny enough, it's somebody that should not have said this when they said it. And that made me think, okay, this person is a person of interest. I watch Detective Conan. I keep stuff like this in mind, though. And then you go back to... And then funny enough, somebody brought this up with Detective Pretty Cure online. How you describe certain characters versus one other thing and a whodunit and who this person, who's a culprit, is important. Okay, so you describe all the three girls, but you don't describe Kureya in as much detail as these other three girls. Okay, that makes me think she might be Curie Claire, and it obviously turned out to be Curie Claire, but there were other hints that made me think it was Curie Claire. But applying that to Onizuka and the GTO Revival, this is basically the case where they were showing off this student who has a really awful dad. They showed off another girl who's just really obsessed with social media and doing TikTok. They didn't call it TikTok, they called it some other thing, but she's basically obsessed with social media and everything. And they have the other teacher who's trying her best, but she can only try as much as she can. But again, they were giving hints and everything about these particular characters, but not a hint about this one particular character. There was one thing that happened, or they gave background about her, this person, but it made me suspect even more, and that person was indeed the culprit. So I was like, darn it, I want to be wrong.
You see, every character can only have one, like, interest, hobby to find, you know, stuff like that. So clearly all these other characters were ruled out because they already had some other sort of hobby.
It's their sort of
defining interest.
It's sort of hobby, or what, or if Onizuka decides he wants to meet with them, be like, here, I'm going to do this and that with you. I'm gonna go to a baseball one of those machine, baseball training batting cages, whatever, like machine, the baseballs get fired at you and you just have to hit it with the bat. I'm just going to take you to one of those and we're just going to have a batting cage where I lose horribly, but I'm teaching you a lesson. this doesn't happen to that one particular character, so I kind of figured it out. But it is still Onizuka. There is still that lesson of, and especially in social media, and I have been wondering, like, how do you handle handling kids nowadays in this type of era where you're all obsessed about likes, and it just feels like you're getting this different type of abuse. Like, you had obviously abuse growing up, even something in the physical and mental ways. Now you have to deal with this in a social media way that's kind of different, and it's still pretty hard. It can be pretty harmful, especially if it gets just plastered all over the internet, and you're just like the main character for the day. And it's not never fun to be the main character on the internet for a day, or even more than a day. So, yeah, it was great to relive that again. They are actually streaming Netflix is actually streaming the 2026, the new GTO version. And I'm going to watch this, but I think I'm going to wait till it finishes. I think I'm just so used to just like binging it. So I don't think I want to watch it week to week. I say this, but I think I may have watched, I mean, it's been a long time ago, so it's not true. But when Crunchyroll used to like stream Japanese dramas, they had the 2012 version of GTO, and I think I watched that week to week. But it's been a long time, so I can't unfortunately remember. But at this point, I'm just like, yeah, I'll just hold off for a bit. But yes, that is my GTO spiel. Love it. Greatest back. And now, just again, I could just go to Netflix and just watch it just like that. Don't have to go to a random site and go from there.
Your computer is now safe from getting not quite as many viruses.
Marks, yes. No viruses for the laptop. None of that.
All right, so we're going to move on to some news this week. Let's see. The 34th issue of Kodansha's weekly Young magazine announced that Satomi Yu will be taking a maternity leave between mid-July to mid-October, which means that her Heisei Hanzanhen star, Sumeri-chan, will be on break for now. And a couple of other folks are also on break. Afro, the creator of both Laid Back Cap and Mono, is taking a break, so both of those are going to go on hiatus at the same time. You know, I had kind of been wondering if they were doing both manga at once, or if one had finished and the other was still ongoing, and I guess that answers my question.
There you go. I actually wonder the same thing, too.
Because two series at once is a lot. Like, I know of some mangaka who do that, and I'm just like, my god, how are you, like,
yeah, like Hiromashiba, I think, is infamous for that's kind of like, oh, I'm gonna work on this manga, oh, I'm gonna work on Fairy Tail, oh, I'm gonna work on this manga too. I don't know how he did it.
Yeah, but I think whoever does Past the Monster Meet Milady's adaption, I think she might work on more than one, and I'm just like, my god, how? Please take care of your health.
I know this was announced recently for Anime New York City that Akiko Higashimura, I know she was I believe she was working on like a week, she worked on weekly, I think she was working on a weekly and a monthly at the same time. It was a while ago. I think it was a long, I forgot what it was, but I think she too was also able to do this despite, I think, working like 8 hours or something like that. She was really very stringent
and about, she's like a single mom too, I think. Or at least was at one point.
Well, she might still be. You reminded me of that one tweet where I tweeted it out and it got kind of viral about her marrying somebody, and then they unfortunately broke up.
I think she's had multiple marriages by this point.
Right, that makes sense, yeah. But yeah, I do kind of wonder how most manga could do it. Some do, some are able to do it, and some just really can't. Or they just need lots of breaks, and hopefully this break will help Afro reconceptualize and be able to better plot out how to handle both series at the same time. Now to see the some sad news. We got just a couple of deaths this week. The composer Shiro Sagisu revealed on Twitter this past Friday that his uncle and anime producer Masayasu Sagisu died on July 12th at 93. He was a director and producer at Eiken, formerly known as TCJ Animation, and he worked on several anime, notable Tetsujin 28, 8 Man, Super Jetter, Space Boy Sarin, and Saizai-san. And this was also really, really sad too. The official Twitter account for guitarist Mei Nekozuki announced from her family that she has passed away. You could tell how sudden this was because she had live events scheduled this year. In fact, there was like a birthday thing that was going to happen just I think a couple days ago, I think July 29th. So it was extremely sudden.
I wonder if she was in an accident.
Yeah,
or something
no,
like
nothing.
That.
Yep, no, nothing revealed yet. I'm not sure we will know what happened, but you look at the picture; she's still really young. So yes, it was really, really sad. She was Negusuke was active as a Bang Dream support guitarist for the Mill Sage and Ika Dumb Rock bands, and she was also active in the C2 Kikan 1MYB band for Kanko. So yeah, really nice to see. Condolences to her family and friends, and hoping nothing. Yeah, not much we can add until further notice, unless there's anything else. Yeah, you know, it's really sad.
And then moving on to licenses, it's a good thing every other section in this podcast is light this week because there were a lot of licenses. In Japan, August 1st is 801 or Yaoi Day, because that's, you can kind of like turn it into that. In the US, August 1st is National Girlfriend Day, which is just a very funny combination of things. But this means that Sublime and Seven Seas made some licensing announcements. Let's see. Justin has put both of them in the same section. Ah, now I see it. All right, so from Sublime, we have Fumi Tsuyuhisa's Robin at the Break of Dawn, Ogoretsu Tanaka's Cake Dog Caramelized, and Yodaka Kuroi's Welcome to the Tiger Detective Agency. I guess they had an animal theme going on there. And then from Seven Seas, we have Rasu's A Paradise Reached Through Love, Aki Yukura's We, Pitiful Yet Beloved, Micro Noisy's Dogs of Tosca, and Sugar Sato's Kitayama and Minamiya, Our First Year of Dating. Guys, I did not have enough time to practice the pet names before we started recording, so I'm sorry.
You were at a convention. It's totally understandable.
Yeah, and I was like looking over the script in the back of my Lyft home, but I was like, I'm not going to practice pronouncing these out loud in the back here. You know, we're just going to have to
look. The Lyft driver, they'll be just fine. They'll be like, we get crazy people talking on our Lyft enough times. It's fine. let's see. Titan Manga announced exclusively on ANN that they've licensed Yoshikazu Kuwajima and Takahiro Seguchi's Last Ball of Love Death. Cross Infinite World, it's been around since zero from them. They announced they've licensed the following titles and these are all light novels. Miyamiya and Hattori Kyoka's Assassin Empress Beruge, I'll call it that. Saki Ichibu and Yukako Fujimura's From Bumbling Prodigy to Villainous, Will the Duke's Love Go Unnoticed? Minato and Tsukiko's From Corporate Drone to Mintmaster. One Order, Dragon coming right up. I'm guessing we can eat dragons. Yay!
Aren't those an endangered species?
I guess not in this world. Cross Infernal has also licensed Len Kagizaki and Akira Shigaraki's The Villainous Journal, Newlywed Life of an Obsessive Researcher.
Let's see, and then IDW has licensed Yuki Imada's Sonic the Hedgehog, The Blade of Courage manga. It's already available on the IDW Comics app. And speaking of apps, K-Manga has added Yu Taguchi's Dazzling Spring Days, and Manga Up has added a number of titles. Muchiko Mochida and Satsuki Urushiji's I'm Now the Princess of Spring in Another World, Koto Amana and Otsuji's Fantasy Gourmet, Monika Kanami's Sunbeams in the Sky, Ryuhidari Yukiyato and Takahana notes, Since I Was Confessed To, Milady Has Been Acting Strange. And finally, Makoto Fukami and Seigo Tokiya's School Submarine Fleet Mermaid Girls. So, a variety of things just going by the titles there.
And then the one anime announcement we got here pre-conventions, Anime Unlimited stepping up, and they're gonna bring Banana Fish into home media. I think this is happening next year. Hell, this is a crazy turnaround. It was literally on Amazon Prime for years. It had its AI dub, which went terribly, obviously. It then got pulled from Amazon Prime this year. Netflix picked it up, and it's gonna air August 12th, so soon. And now people can actually buy it on home media. What a turnaround! What a turnaround. This turnaround.
Yeah,
Go ahead.
it's not actual weird news, but spiritually it is weird news.
But hell, I need this to happen to WonderCoy. Like for real. Like, how is this?
Yeah.
Has it not on Prime for this long, and nothing? No, it hasn't lapsed yet. No English dub for this. No home media release for this. What is this? Needs to 2027. This has gotta be it, right? Like, come on. Like, what are we doing here?
And the manga's always been popular over here. I mean, popular enough that Kodansha had like a special alternate cover for one volume, I think, so.
They brought like a bunch of like, I think they even brought like a one of them not an anthology. There was like a special like some sort of version that they bought over, not just
Short story collection?
something like that, something along those lines. And you don't usually bring that unless it's really, oh, maybe an art book, something like that, maybe an illustration book. But yeah, you don't bring any of that over, it's not popular. And yes, if you bring it over, it's popular. So come on, the anime will sell if you bring it over. Just do it. Just do it.
Justin has his fingers hovering over the still hypothetical pre-order button. All right. Now we have some manga announcements from San Diego Comic-Con and Otakon. The majority of these being San Diego Comic-Con because there's like four industry groups that still go to Otakon. The coolest ones, I may add, but so there is hang on, I'm trying to figure out this one. New Marvel.
Well, okay, I'll kind of get this one because I put it in here.
Okay.
Obviously, we talked, I think, a couple times at some episodes about Shueisha and Marvel, particularly like the Disney. There was a deal with that with Marvel and everything that obviously is going to end at the end of September of this year. So it's like, okay, well, I guess that means no more Deadpool and Shueisha's hands and all that stuff. But now we have a new partnership, so we have Marvel partnering up with Kadokawa. So they're gonna have some stuff out, but obviously we'll see if any of this comes out in English anytime soon. I'm curious if this is gonna open it up to like what publishers are gonna like try to put this out here. Obviously, Kadokawa and Yen Press are a big thing. Gen Novel Club and Kadokawa also a big thing, but whether checking out called 1 out on their service. Well, I don't know, but we'll see if this actually means any freedom instead of just being locked to Viz moving forward. Very curious how this partnership's gonna go, but we'll have to see.
And the late Akira Toriyama has been inducted into the Eisner Hall of Fame, which I think was pretty expected. I think they had announced previously their intention to do so. But, okay, moving on to actual manga licensing announcements, aka the kind of thing I can parse with my very tired brain right now. Yen Press had a number both pre-San Diego Comic-Con and at the con. So before the con, they announced Taiga Hattori and Rin Kawachi Testudos, Let's Begin, A Battle Without the Hero,
I guess I
light
messed
novel under the Yen.
I guess I messed up somewhere. Oops.
Yeah.
My bad.
Uh-oh.
Sorry about that.
Anyway, it's A Battle Without the Hero. It's a light novel, so it's under the Yen On imprint. Yononaka's The Weakling Who Died a Million Times. Again, a light novel under the Yen On imprint. Nanaki Ichinose, Sango Sansan, and Noko Tsukimachi's The Dragon Prince's Ill-Mated Betrothal. Oh, and also Mamoru Hosoda's Wolf Children Ame and Yuki. This is going to be an audiobook version, so it's under Yen Audio.
And then at Sunny.
Justin's cursor is furiously flying over the script right now.
It's flying over and I can't delete anything. It's so funny. Like, what's happening here? Yesterday announced at San Diego Comic-Con, Uesu and Minoru Chigusa's Watching the Angel Sleep, drowning in bed together. This is the only novel for the Yenon imprint that they announced. Everything else should be manga. So they license Teria's Shark Man at the Shore, Akinoko's The Deathmate Cat and the Love Notice, Yasuki Wakatsu, Nina Akabane, and Taku Harunos, the villainesses, are unwavering. Tomato tries The Enchantment Camera, Zo Kojo's Don't Talk to Me, Soichiro Yamamoto's Mane Mane Nichi Nichi, Baseball Manager Every Day. So we got another Soichiro Yamamoto manga. So we got the Takagi-san and the, I know Kadanchas have another title of his that they're releasing. So we got another one for the collection. Katsuo's Hashtag I'm Looking for Zombies, The Complete Omnibus, Haruyuki's My First Love With You Again, and Tachibana Higuchi's Champignon, which they did it, Helen. It has been done. They said the anime was not...
I am surprised.
The anime was not very good. We want people to actually still love the actual original work, so we're going to bring it over. I'm not sure if that conversation actually happened, but I'm just throwing it up.
Apparently the scanlations are not very good. I have not actually even looked at those because I still need to finish the anime. But yeah, I'm surprised since I don't think that Gakko and Alice was ever a very big seller for Tokyopop, and that one wasn't finished because Tokyopop, they did that kind of go, they kind of like ceased to exist for a while after like volume 16 or 17, and that they never picked it back up, so... Definitely surprising, but yeah, I'm down. I'm down to read, you know, that looks cute, but deeply weird in a way.
Yeah, or, you got just one person randomly walking around town and her mushrooms just come out of her. Like.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking about it. It's kind of like in some Mizukami titles, you'll have like really weird visuals while the characters are having very deep discussions, and towards the end of it you'll have a character thinking, man, this is so fucking weird right now, we look like a bunch of weirdos. It's kind of got a similar vibe, but I'll talk more about that on a different day. Now we're gonna go over to Kodansha, who also had licenses. I think these are all from San Diego Comic-Con, and these are all print licenses. Hamu Hamu's The Cat and Dog's Nine-Tailed Lives, Izu and Hagane's Kraken Mare, Kenji Tsurubuchi, and Konata's Mayhem. I don't even know what language I want supposed to be.
Mayhem, Helen. Mayhem, Helen, Mayhem.
That is not how you spell it in English.
That's what it's like, when he said Mayhem, that's what it made me think of. Mayhem? Mayhem?
Mayhem, please! Yoruhashi's Reiga in the Sleeping Forest, Shizuku Tori's I Love You, Please Dump Me, Torita's I Loved Him First, maybe this is why they need to be dumped, Shuichi Shigeno's Subaru and Subaru. They announced a box set of Saka Mikami's The Fragrant Flower Blooms of Dignity, so that one must be doing pretty well. Probably, I would imagine that the Netflix streaming has boosted the sales. Although it's also been popular on K-Manga for a while. And they re-announced Gamon Sakurai's The Pool. What is The Pool? I do not know and I do not care to ask. I have more important things to think about right now.
Yeah, that was a weird one because they announced it, but like, didn't they announce this before? I've seen this on pre-orders under their distributor site for a good year now. Well, what are they talking about? I can only assume some sort of contract things happened, or maybe there was something extra that happened that required to renegotiate, and now they have to re-announce that they've licensed it again. So yeah, it was very, very funny that they had to announce it, even though they announced it 3 years ago at San Diego Comic-Con 2024.
Oh my god.
Alright, back to Udon. We're going to Udon. Feels like it's been a while since we heard from them. As always, they have...
No, there's still no news about Sugar Sugar Roon.
None of that. No details about their other... This was supposed to be another version of... there was one specific version of Rose of Versailles that was supposed to release, but they haven't had an announcement for this yet. So it's like, when is that coming? Who actually knows? But here's what they've announced at the convention. Hiromi Matsuo is the department store Walt, and also Matsuo is Wando, the ladies' graphic magazine. These are both all color manga and an illustration book. They've also announced
I feel like I've seen Kinokuniya advertise the Rondo one so many times, like the Japanese version of it.
Right, yeah. And they also announced they've licensed Bells Ruelles, which is an anthology manga series, so it's not obviously a multiple. It's got a bunch of authors in one series or in one book. We'll see when these come out, because who knows when Udon wants to release anything nowadays. Let's go to Manga Mavericks Books. They had just one announcement at San Diego Comic-Con. It was when Kawano was out in Significant Justice. But I think one of the bigger news at their panel was they announced the loss of the Independent Manga Alliance. So it's a joint venture between, in this case, Manga Mavericks CEO Valerian Gunta and Mahjong Pro's head of partnerships licensing Harrison Doan. So it's going to obviously basically combine all the smaller publishers, so the members involved Manga Mavericks Books, Mahjong Pro, Strict Algorithm LLC, Restream Manga, and Creation Entertainment Partners, Inc. So obviously these type of partners, and whether they, I assume they'll be open to other independent publishers moving forward. They're going to obviously provide distribution, or help aim to provide distribution, marketing, sales support to those type of publishers in the United States or globally. So I think maybe long overdue. We're starting to get a lot of publishers, especially smaller publishers, and I think some really didn't get like or had enough support or thought. Sorry to put out stuff like Soul Press and Tentai Books as examples, but you think about those type of publishers who've been just like they showed up, had some licenses, and then didn't really last long enough, and you kind of want,
they didn't commit to the follow through,
right? You kind of just wonder, like, is support for these type of publishers, like, good enough? And hopefully having the Independent Manga Alliance will be a good thing. Obviously, it's always a wait and see, but this is, I think, a good direction to go on, because obviously manga publishing is, it's complex. It's obviously lots of relationship building, all that stuff. So having that type of support, I think, should make a healthier industry, especially for the English market.
Yeah, they mentioned at one of their Otakon panels that it's been really hard with the disbanding, I guess, you know, the fall of Diamond Distributors. That has definitely made things more complicated. They had two panels at Otakon. I made it to one, the one that was like the last time slot on Sunday, where they were talking about things more generally. And they also had like some fun details about their upcoming Sword of Paros release. I did not go to their other one because their other one was 9 a.m. on Friday morning with their, like, licensing announcement panel. Just.
Gotta wake up early.
The first panel of the con and the last panel of the con.
You just gotta wake up early enough to really commit, Helen. You just gotta do that.
Yeah, no, that was not happening, especially with cosplay. That's why I need my non-cosplaying friends to be up and at them early so that they can cover what I can't. Then over at Mahjong Pros, didn't we just have licenses from them? Am I crazy or?
Nope. Maybe last. I think it's been a couple episodes. I think these are new. These are new licenses, though.
They had licenses at AX as well, right? Or is one of these the one that's so obscure that wasn't even on like manga updates?
Yeah, you're saying something. You're probably right about AX. I think you're right about AX.
Anyway, Mahjong Pros, they have managed to find even more Mahjong manga in Japan. I'm starting to be in awe of just how much Mahjong manga there is. They have licensed Hiromi Aoyama and Kazutoshi Yamane's Bird, Mahjong's Deadliest, versus the Master Illusionist. And they've also licensed Yumi Yamaguchi and Yado Kurageru's Akiroshi Hanafuda Shadow Games. Now, obviously, that second one is not Mahjong, but, you know, we're not going to be quibbling with them about this part. And then Drawn and Quarterly also had some rather obscure licenses at San Diego Comic-Con. Shigo Ito's Marmalade Princess, which, as best as I can tell, ran in a single issue of a magazine in 1984, Justin and I were trying to find an image for the social media of it, and we both gave up. Sakaguchi, Ango, and Kondo Hyoko's One Woman and the War, and also Hinako Sugihara's Lady Hokusai. If folks remember the movie of the same name from probably like 7 or 8 years ago now, yes, it was based off of this manga.
Yep. GK released that a while ago. What a way to bring that back. I'm not sure if people remember that. And then you look and see like, oh wait, why does that character look kind of familiar?
Yeah, when I saw the name, I went, and thankfully someone had already like responded in the comments like, oh yeah, it is the same thing.
But yes, the Mario Pistol one is hilarious because I'm like, I don't really like to like just take an image like online like that. I just don't really enjoy doing that.
Yeah, because we just stole like a picture that Ben Applegate took at the panel from the audience.
Yeah, but I was really struggling to find any proper image for this. Like, it was really difficult. And then I finally was able to get the proper Japanese author to show up, but it was just giving me hits for another title that the author did. And I'm like, I could just try to get rid of this, but it's not really the right one. So I'm just like, yeah, I think I'm just going to have to bite the bullet and just use this. So yeah, it happens. Hope it doesn't happen again. All right, Helen, time to move on to the Otakon news that happened this past weekend, particularly for obviously manga, light manga anime. We had Omoi, who had they had their increasing catalog. They had 54 Kanachi titles, or they're going to add 54 Kanachi titles in the coming weeks. There's a few that's available now, just like the first couple early volumes. But their biggest announcement was some licensing Shinji Wada's The Liquid Detective, Shikiban Deka. Needless to say, this is literally one of those white whales, the shoujo series that no way is not going to license. This is impossible. It's never happening. And it happened.
This is the one where a girl is like blackmailed, or I think she is blackmailed, and she is solving crimes with a yo-yo as a weapon. Evan of Omoi was talking about how this is definitely one of the inspirations behind Kill la Kill. And I remember there's a character in 13 Sentinels, the video game, who's definitely inspired by Shikiban Deka as well. I was in the room when this one happened, and I posted maybe one of the first Blue Sky posts on it. And yeah, that one popped off. I had so many people, you know, quote posting it, going like, oh my god! So that's fun. Although, I mentioned Justin. Justin's like, yeah, I know, they gave me a press release about it on Wednesday. Oh, also, I did an interview with Evan, and I'm just not going to tell you this, so you're not going to, like, know to, like, attach that to your post, you know, to get that bumped up, so you know. We have an interview with Evan about licensing this on the site that people should go read, because this is an old, obscure title, so it's kind of surprising it got licensed. They did say during the panel that the fact that this isn't their first title from, I think it's Akita Shoten.
Yep.
Probably helped. Yep. You know, they already had the contacts for when they were like, hey, we got something weird. Oh, and this is a digital-only title for the moment. However, if everybody who's excited about this goes out and gets a fucking Omoi subscription where you can read this, and you can read other stuff, or even buy it digitally, those numbers will make it more likely that we can get a future hypothetical print release.
This is always a good reminder. Partnerships matter. What you release matters. You would think something like Shonen Racket, it's just a random, nobody knows who that title is, but it's those type of things where you just release that, people may like it or not, but you can access things in the other catalog that can allow you to release something as really important as Shikiban Deka. That's a really important title. Like, we always poo-poo, like, what are these Ghost Ship titles? Like, why are people putting this? Why is Seven Seas doing this for Ghost Ship and all that stuff? But no.
I mean, whenever I see the Ghost Ship stuff, I assume that it's helping to fund, like, some of the other things.
Yep, see, there you go. It works like that. That's how things work. Relationships and partnerships matter. This is a very good example of that. Very good. So, yep, this is, Shikiban Deka is not ready yet. They have a planned fall 2026 release, obviously, so sometime in that window. And I assume they'll send more information when they officially get the release date locked in for that, so we'll definitely cover that when it happens.
Yeah, and since this is an older title, I think they might have said that some of the files are in kind of rough shape, but
yeah.
I would have to go back and reference my own Blue Sky thread to be sure of that.
No, in the interview, like, even Evan said, obviously the author is not around anymore, so there's just some things that are just lost because of it. So, and then obviously, again, because they're trying to make it from the Chronicle of Riddick's digital files, there's just obviously things are just not going to be the same. But yes, they're obviously going to do what they can, and we'll just see the results when it happens in the fall. And then I think I'll take this.
Oh, I was going to say that they were definitely just talking about in the Manga Mavericks panel that they've definitely got some older titles where rescanning things has been kind of fun, like having to like buy old print volumes in Japan and taking them apart to scan.
And speaking of Mavericks, they're back again. They also had a panel at Olicon, and they licensed the Foul Wing, Zenzo's Oni King. It's a one-shot, and they licensed also Zenzo Royd. They also licensed Ipa Nakamura's Town Walking with Ghost Dog. So these are going to obviously have digital first, and then at some point print. I'm not sure if all these will be this year, but it is this year or early next year.
And then more panels at Otakon. Animeago had a panel where they announced that they have licensed/license rescued in a couple of these examples. Antique Bakery, Dog of Flanders the movie, they've already got the TV series, the one that infamously made Japanese people travel to Belgium and just cry in Flanders because they were so affected by the TV show. Relife, Rune Explorers, Fam and Irhe, and Welcome to Irabu's Office. That one has had a couple of different names associated with it, so folks might know it under the name Trapeze.
Oh!
It's got like really wild visuals. If trapeze and wild visuals is ringing a bell, yeah, it's Noi Domino.
The name.
One from like 2011 or so.
Yeah, like you brought up, I see the name of Irabu's Office. Like, okay, I never heard of that. But then you say trapeze, I'm like, wait, I've heard of that. And listen, it sounds familiar to me. That's crazy. That is crazy.
Yeah, I know that like. I think it's based off of something, and I think the material it's based off of has been licensed in the US or like been out digitally here under that same Welcome to Irabu's Office before, but I think in the fan sub circles I think people were putting it out more under Trapeze, since I don't think this was a simulcast back in the day. It's been a while since I did my Noi Domino panel, so I do not remember the details exactly. And then, Justin, you take Discotheque because I'm still mad about that.
Okay, fine. All right, hella angry. I will handle this one. Discotheque announced the following titles. Digimon Frontier, it's obviously continuing for Digimon. Panty Pony Dash, Lupin the Third Part 2, and then also Lupin the Third, Zenigata and the Two Lupins. Outlanders, which I am actually looking forward to because I bought the DVD for this eons ago. It's probably high time to get the Blu-ray for sure. I think they're gonna do Astro Res for this one, so yes, it's gonna be a standard Blu-ray release. Samurai Pizza Cats, Toradora, which is so timed, I guess cannot be timed any better. Over on Twitter, there's been like the lamenting about that it had an anniversary, and then obviously it's no longer streaming anywhere. And then look at just Discotheque coming out of nowhere with the license rescue, just like that. The Big O. Argento Soma, Tales of the Abyss, Infinite Rebus, Memories, Pat Lira TV, and a bunch of Pat Lira movies. It's going to be under the Pat Lira movies moniker. Penguin Drum, which I forgot Sentai did not have the rights to anymore. And they're going to collect the Digimon movies. This is a collection 3 of Digimon movies, so I'm not sure how many Digimon movies are left. How much more Digimon was out there that I didn't know?
I know there were. I mean, they're like still making Digimon series. Like, there's one airing right now.
No, I know that, but like back, I'm talking about the older like. So I thought it was like kind of like it, especially movie wise. I didn't realize it had this many movies.
And I have just sent you a funny image where like, does Discotheque still do this on Twitter? Where they have unhelpful hints and clues leading up to announcing?
They still have it.
Yeah. So someone had like. like taken one of them, and it's like a whole bunch of like seagulls attacking some guy with a hat. And they said the problem with these clues is going to be like this is going to be like this represented Digimon Frontier because several of the characters wear hats. And then, so of course, once that got announced, people were having fun, laughing about it on Blue Sky. I've sent you the post. I made sure it's publicly visible so you can actually see it.
I see. And then I guess I have a correction to make because I was like, is it trapezium? No, it's flying trapeze for the Welcome to
Yeah,
Rapunzel
trapeze.
quiz. So, okay, I did not. I got to mix up with trapezium, which is something totally
Ah, yes, that
different.
is a different one. Some of these titles are not very good, search engine optimization for sure.
Well, look, it's a lot better than having something named what?
Free.
I.
Free anime.
Like, just how do you find what do you like? What is Yen Press? Oh no, End. It's called End that Yen Press announced not too long ago. What are you putting? What do you mean End? What are we gonna do with that?
Yeah, I just know that Free, the swimming show, I know that that is forever messed up if you type in free anime into Google.
Just put swimming. Just add swimming somehow in there.
Yeah, like the full title is like Free Iwatoba Swim Club, but if people are looking for just like free anime to stream, that might pop up. It goes both ways.
Right,
All
Helen.
right,
Let's
so.
go to a switch streaming this, please.
Yeah, streaming news, and then we'll be done and out of here, folks. So, Crunchyroll has added to its service that time I got reincarnated as a slime, Tears of the Azure Sea, Assassination Class from the movie Our Time, and Kamisama Kiss OD OAD, so original anime disc, so like OVAs but for the discs. Reincarnated as a Slime is pretty recent. I don't know when that Ass Class one came out, but that show's been done for a while. And Kamisama Kiss has been over for a long ass time. Like,
A very, very good example.
Crunchyroll,
A very good
did
example.
you like just like dig around in the back of the like mail closet and be like, oh shit, we forgot about this one?
Either that, or literally, like these get. This is actually unrelated, but it makes me think about how Jade Animal Club can include certain bonuses on their, or like some bonuses on their volumes because it's like a store type of bonus that they just it's hard to negotiate the rights for that. I kind of wonder if negotiating rights for
And
these
sometimes
anime.
those short stories are plot critical. Trials and tribulations, I am looking at you.
You could be right, Helen. Like literally, Crunchyroll could have just been like, "Oh, we just have this here. We should put this up after losing it for like years or whatever." But it could also be the case where they just couldn't license it for a long time because of rights. That's just like not worth the time to really do. But they finally was able to do it. So who knows? We'll never know. But the
Yeah,
point is,
that's
Kamisama.
probably the case. But I just like making the joke about, like, my God, like, even at work, I'm like, are we finding more things for me to scan, like, behind a bookcase? How do you keep finding more?
But okay, Helen, we had Crunchyroll adding titles, but we now also have Crunchyroll delisting titles. So Crunchyroll addeth and a delisteth away. And if these titles seem kind of themed, then you'll understand why I'm thinking they're themed. Blood Blockade Battlefront, Orange, Grimgar Ashes and Illusions, Roka Braves of the Six Flowers, Barakamon, Black Lagoon, and Asigatsu World Live Action. They are not on Crunchyroll anymore. All these titles
The
have.
theme I can think of is that they're all from around the same year, which is all about 8 years ago now?
I kind of want to say it as God's Will was a little. Well, maybe earlier. I don't know if it was around the same time. But you might be right about that. But the main connection that these are all former Funimation titles. And these are titles that have been on. That was a Funimation for a while. And now we're. Some of this. I see some theories about it being like a 10-year window. So it's like, oh, you have licenses contracts for 10 years, and now it's like, okay, the rights are up. But I'm just noting, like, what's if we get more titles just getting removed from the services, all like older Funimation titles. Because by the way, they've never been able to get. I don't think Slayers. I just don't think they've ever added Slayers back to Crunchyroll at all. That was a big Funimation title, but they haven't been able to add that back. I'm sure there's other titles that used to be on Funimation that they just simply were able to bring back on Crunchyroll, but these titles that we originally that they just got the list. They were able to be on Crunchyroll, but now not anymore. So, yeah, licensing is a pain. It can be a pain, and that's why home media is very important. Take notes, Sony.
Mm-hmm. Sony, we're coming for you. All right, so. Oh yeah, we're in the streaming section, so I can't say continuing streaming because that's redundant. Anyway, Netflix is going to be streaming Gintama the Movie 2026, Yoshiwara and Flames. I once again ask, how is Gintama still making anime? That is a lot.
It is indeed a lot.
Justin has noted that the remaining FBI intervention episodes for Detective Conan are now on Netflix and Crunchyroll. I was tired enough that at first I misread this as the remaining FBI investigation into Detective Conan, and I was like, what did I miss? Why are the feds investigating this anime?
They're investigating Gosho Oyama for his many Ran and Shinichi crimes. That's what they're doing.
They want to know why so many serial killers appear around this one kid.
Why? Yeah, that is a great question. Why are you the angel of death, essentially? Why is this the case?
Mm-hmm. A question fans have been joking about for ages.
Ocean Vale continues to be like, we do have 18 plus stuff, but we're more than just that. Yeah. And they actually got some good stuff, or at least they got some stuff done. Like, yeah, why don't other streaming services have this? So, Love Hina, Level E, Yuru Yuri Season 1, Naruko-san, Another Quarrel in Chaos Season 1, Bombshells from the Sky, better affectionately known as Cat Planet Cuties, and Dramatical Murder. They're now on the service. The following going to come up later in this year. So Hana Yanamata, Yuru Yuri Season 2 and Season 3, Naruko-san, Another Quarrel in Chaos Season 2, and Dramatical Murder Original. Dramatical Murder. Dramatical Murder. The OVA. These are all coming.
The one where the dog turns into a human and you can fuck him. I can't tell if Justin's internet cut out or if he was not aware of that plot point before.
I'm gonna move on. We have these are all planned to come out later this year or some this week. Hana Yadamori and Yuri Season 2 are planned this week, I believe, so go check those out. What in the world is happening in Dramatical Murder OVA? Why did they know that?
I don't know if that happens in the OVA, but it happens in the game. Like, that was always an 18-plus game.
Okay, Oceanville, we actually legitimately have 18-plus stuff here. Okay, I'll just go with this one. Clockwork Girl, which is the anime episode that's worked on Yasumi with Umetsu this year, or earlier this year. Yeah, I think it's earlier this year. It wasn't last year. Anyways, and plans to make that available for digital purchase this September. No date on when it's September, but it's just coming out in September. But how about putting it in home media, Aniplex? How about that, Aniplex?
I mean, it's only like a single 30-minute episode thing right now, so
yeah, I guess it makes it harder to do it as home media.
Yeah. This time we will cut them some slack, because we all know that Umetsu takes fucking forever to not finish things. All right, so the latest anime addition to the Criterion Channel is Evangelion, which both fits and is kind of weird. We will see if my dad messages me at some point after September 1st saying that he's tried out this anime on there called Neon Genesis Evangelion. God, I hope not. But the Criterion Channel is going to have the TV series Evangelion Death, parentheses True, squared, and the end of Evangelion.
There has been, I think, some discussion, at least on Twitter, about whether this is the actually original ADV version, which I doubt. I think it's the G-Kids one. But we'll obviously find out when September rolls around.
Over on Blue Sky, people are just posting that image of Shinji, you know, looking despondent in a chair, and they're just placing it inside the Criterion closet. So that's all the discussion we've got going.
But look at the diversity of anime, Helen. We had K-On! Yes. 3 weeks ago, or 4 months ago, and now we have Evangelion. Perfect.
Oh yes, people have also been making that joke.
And then also, I guess, like, Helen, your dad will understand the whole Shinji and Karu memes, I think. If he watches it, that'll be great.
I'm trying to think now. Has my dad watched anything of Gay Guys in it before? I mean, he must have at some point, but... Anyway.
And then in the final bit of streaming news, and this is more like weird news, but then also an update for us, because we actually, at least I put it in the script, because it was rolled into like the Undead Luck news, and I said, all right, sure, I might as well just put this in here too. So the English dub for Doi and that villainess should have came out July 12th, but at least on Hulu, it was stated to come out July 12th. But naturally, July 12th came, and it was just a sub that came out. So I was like, okay, I guess it's not being simulcasted and simuldubbed at the same time. Oh well, no big deal. It is what it is. They then had, at least on Hulu, July 21st, they had the first episode of the dub up, which got lots of people posting about it, or at least like the main, like they had the Twitter account, like Anime Dubs. They just post like English dub accounts or the English dubs. They post that, and obviously it got spread it out a little bit, but then like 3 or 4 hours later, because I was gonna go watch it, it was unable to be played. I tried to watch it on my TV and it just couldn't play. I was like, why is this not working? Why is it not playing? And then I think maybe like 15 or so minutes later, it just said equal air July 26th. What? So yes, Hulu had an oopsie. They end up messing they, I guess, leaking it or posting it too early, so they obviously messed up. It eventually got announced like that Friday on Crunchyroll that yes, it's obviously gonna premiere on the 26th. So yeah, the dub's on Crunchyroll and Hulu. I am basically, so I don't get my queue messed up or just kind of in an awkward place, I am watching the dub on Hulu and watching the sub on Crunchyroll for that show. So that's great. Other than that, that was a kind of an amusing thing, and just a little update, just in case, so nobody's confused that did happen.
Yeah, I'm still laughing at the whole, you know, the voice, like one of the dub actors trying to explain which character she's playing, so it's like, okay, I'm playing this character who body swaps to this other character, so I'm doing the voice of this body and this mind, regardless of who is present, you know?
Yeah, it's that one thing where you're for the voice, for the Japanese and English voice directors, you have to keep... You had to be on point. You have to trip.
You got to remember.
You got to triple check.
I imagine that's also harder for the actors just to remember, okay, whose mind am I in right now? You know, who, because you do that way have to act two different characters.
That's, yeah, it makes it really challenging. Unique, and also really challenging.
And you want to keep it consistent with the other actor who's doing, you know, the inverse of, you know, the inside and outside voices. So I feel like that must be hard, but it's probably... I hope it's a fun challenge, at least, you know?
And you know, funny enough, Helen, we were wondering why it was supposed to air in the spring, but it got delayed into the summer season. Was this why?
Are you saying that it was just so challenging that they needed extra time for everyone to make sure that they were doing it correctly?
I kind of wonder, and especially if they wanted to, like, dub it too. I kind of wonder. Like, we usually get, like, obviously production issues that's usually the calling card for delays. I guess we're getting voice acting production issues, maybe.
Yeah, I doubt that. You know, we're just speculating. Yeah, we're, folks. Yeah, do just, not take yeah, anything we say
yeah,
seriously.
We're just speculating. It's not a... And then again, it's thankfully not a big deal. Okay. I will only say it's a big deal because this season is just too packed. I think I would have liked to have aired in spring. But we can't be... Beggars can't be choosers. It is what it is.
Oh, no, you can. Have you ever seen a pet get really be demanding that they are starving and then get really picky about what food you feed them?
I'm not sure I want to see that.
My mom once bought, like, some nice wet food for our cat, and he ate it a few times, but afterwards he would start leaving it behind, so she just had to put, like, it back in the fridge or something and feed it out to him in small bits so that it would eventually get used up, because it just wasn't his preferred brand of wet food.
Anyways, Helen, I have some bad news.
That we went past 6 p.m.?
We did indeed not finish an hour like I'd hoped. I have hopes and dreams, and I and like my hope, my optimism is very great, but you know, optimism, reality is never, you know, they never actually work out very well, don't it? But also the other,
His hopes, hopes, his hopes and dreams crushed.
but also the other bad news is we didn't have any weird news. I
Yeah, which is weird in and of itself.
this happened last year. There was one, I think, episode where we just simply did not have like any weird news. I can't remember exactly which one, but I know it happened last year. But needless to say, it's few and far between where just something odd occurs in this industry, and we just don't have something to point out. So yes, that is weird in and of itself. But that is an episode, Helen. We have no more to talk about. I think you need to go rest.
No rest for me yet. I probably need to start laundry and stuff like that. I need to unpack. Heck, we were like a couple minutes away from starting recording, and then I realized, oh crap, my headphones are still somewhere in my suitcase. I need to dig those out real fast. But yes, Justin, where can people find more information about the site, the podcast, that interview you did of Omoi, the site formerly known as Azuki? Where can people find all that information?
You can check out the Yoshi.com for reviews and futures and the Omoi interview, where Evan Minto, the co-founder, goes into a bit more detail about how they acquired or got into the process of, or essentially the whole acquiring Superman Deca and all that stuff. You can check out the Yoshi.com for that. You can also check out the OSG socials. That's the Twitter, Mastodon, and Blue Sky for all the nice news and random stuff that may come by the press, or one random press release that may come by, who knows? If I feel like it, and if it's interesting enough, and if I'm not feeling lazy. You can check out the OSG podcast on Google, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. You get added to any RSS you have, or subscribe to email, or add to any RSS you got. And I think that's it for rating and reviews. So, yes, go rate and review, go do all that. And you can still find me still on Twitter at @Kanye_Nomi. Yay.
You can find me on Blue Sky with all of my Otakon adventures, etc., etc., at Wandering Dreamer. And you can find the other podcast I co-host over at taikupodcast.com. That is Taiiku Podcast. The name of the podcast I am on most of the time is Manga in Your Ears, although I have occasionally been dragged onto the Taiku Podcast main feed. But yeah, people can go check that out if they're interested. I don't think I have any great secrets this time on my thread. Sometimes, you know, people say really funny thing or interesting things during the guest panels, but not so much this year. But until next time, folks, see ya!
Bye.